What if the secret to a lifelong love of your sport wasn't just in how you train your body? What joy, possibility, and performance could be unlocked through the power of mental fitness? Well, you're about to find out. Welcome to the MindFit Athlete Podcast. If you want to figure out what's holding you back, then you're in the right place. Now, here's your host, John Ray.
All right, team, and welcome to the MindFit Athlete Podcast. It's an absolute pleasure to have you with us today, whether you're out on a long run, crushing it on the turbo, or just taking a well-earned moment for yourself. I'm with Emily and Jamie, and our goal is to inspire busy people, just like you, to weave the core sports of triathlon into a life that's not just healthier, but happier and more fulfilled. Today, we're tackling one of the biggest questions in the endurance world, racing. Why you should and why you shouldn't. It's a question that can feel loaded. For some, the starting line is a celebration. A finish line is a validation. For others, it's a source of anxiety, a high-stakes test they'd rather avoid. And maybe you're somewhere in the middle, curious but cautious, wondering where you fit in. Maybe you've never even considered racing, in which case this episode is just for you. Today, we're going to explore it all. We're going to look at this question not from one angle, but from many. We'll hear from different perspectives to get a full 360-degree view. We'll hear a case study of how one man stumbled into this world. We'll get practical advice from Jamie on how to view races differently and how to integrate them within a season. And we'll go deep with Emily to understand the powerful mindset shifts that racing can unlock. So, buckle up, Buttercup. We're your audio training partner, and our session starts now. Today, we begin with a story.
Let us introduce you to Paul. He's in his early 40s, works a demanding desk job, and is carrying a little more weight and a lot more stress than he'd like. He feels burned out, fully tapped out from the relentless grind of corporate life. It wasn't always this way. Back in school, Paul was a swimmer, not just for fun. I mean, he was good. Okay, he was naturally gifted, but he worked hard too. He represented his school, felt alive in the water. But life, as it does, piled on. Time, stress, and responsibility buried that swimmer under layers of have-tos and shoulds until it was just easier to stop moving altogether. The moment that changed everything came unexpectedly during the Paris Olympics. Paul was idly surfing the BBC iPlayer, flicking through the channels on his TV and landing on the swimming heats. As he watched the athlete slice through the water, a quiet but clear voice echoed in his mind. Paul, what happened to you? It's a voice many of us have heard and ignored. But this time, something was different. Maybe it was his age, a sudden sense of urgency, but Paul listened. His Olympic viewing continued, and he found himself drawn to the triathlon. He was captivated by the chaotic beauty of the swim in the Seine, and utterly inspired by the final, searing kick of that Alex Yee run that clinched the victory. He Googled triathlon, not with any ambition to compete, but with a beginner's curiosity for this crazy sport that combined swimming with the cycling and running he'd loved as a kid. Paul didn't make a dramatic 180-degree flip. He started simple and easy. His first real step was the classic BBC Couch to 5K app, a simple, guided start. Then he spotted an adult freestyle refresher class at the local pool and thought, why not? A shiny new bike might have appeared at Christmas, a gift that added another piece to the puzzle. Each step was small, taken without pressure or expectation. Racing wasn't even on his radar, he just didn't see himself that way. There's no way Paul would ever have described himself as an athlete, let alone a triathlete. That is, until a friend's team needed a last-minute cyclist for a local sprint triathlon relay. Paul agreed to help out, not caring about competition, just wanting to be part of the day. But once he was there, immersed in the camaraderie, the buzz, the electric energy of the crowd, something hooked him. He saw people of all ages, all shapes, all sizes, celebrating movement. He saw that this sport had a place for him. This was the turning point. Exercise became passion. He joined a local triathlon club, discovered the surprising satisfaction of structured training, and the results were transformative. He was fitter, sharper at work, and fundamentally happier. The weight of his burnout began to lift. 4 months into his winter training, Paul did something the man watching TV during the Olympics would never have believed. He signed up for his first solo triathlon. That race wasn't an endpoint. It was his benchmark. It was the start of everything.
Paul's story shows us a powerful organic evolution that happens when we reconnect with movement. It often starts with that profound moment of self-awareness that Paul found when watching the swim, of refinding a part of yourself you thought was lost. And the more you engage with sport, then something just as magical happens. You begin to fall in love with the process of training itself. An intrinsic joy sparks a natural curiosity and a desire for mastery. You start asking, how can I do this better? What does it feel like to be truly efficient in the water or strong on the final mile of the run? You become a student of the craft. And this is where committing to a race becomes just a natural and organic part of the whole ecology of well-being. A race is the date on the calendar that creates a partnership with your untapped potential, giving your journey in sport depth, purpose, and direction. Simultaneously, it acts as the perfect laboratory and canvas for your new passion. It's where you get to test the skills you're learning, to play with pacing, to honour the connection you have for the sport by trying to do it well.
The single most common and destructive untrue thought that keeps so many incredible people from the joy of racing is this: I don't belong on the start line unless I am fast enough to impress. It's a subtle, venomous little thought, and it's a complete lie. It's born from an unexamined, wrong view, a belief that a race has only one story, the story of who crosses the finish line first. We watch the elites on TV, we see the podium pictures, and we mistakenly believe that is the only definition of success. So, we self-sabotage. We think, I'm not a real athlete. I'll be too slow. I'll come in last. People will judge me. We make it all about an external, comparative result.
A race is about performance, but it's only your performance that matters. It's a deeply personal expression of your own unique journey. Your performance isn't measured against the person next to you. It's measured against the person you were 3 months ago who was too scared to even sign up. Your performance is showing up with courage. It's managing your nerves in the water. It's remembering to smile and thank a volunteer. It's finding that extra gear on the final stretch, not to beat someone else, but to honour the work you put in. The truth is, a race is a collection of thousands of individual stories of courage, all unfolding on the same day. The only ticket required to be there is the heart to show up for yourself. The moment you redefine performance as an honest expression of your own journey, that self-limiting thought loses all of its power. So let's dive into the reasons to race, seeing it not just as a finish line, but as this incredible opportunity for both personal discovery and the joyful pursuit of mastery.
Paul's journey from casual participant to committed racer is a common one. But many people don't appreciate how they might use the opportunity of racing as a tool to enhance their training. Most people see training as the servant and racing as the master. But what if it were the other way around? What if races gave life and sparkle to a lifelong love of training? Here's a way to see this. Races don't all have to have the same focus, intensity, or duration. You can use races as high-powered training, for fun, or as the ultimate test of your ability in your chosen sport. It's up to you. You get to choose. This is where a strategic approach to your race season becomes super helpful. The most effective framework for this is the A, B, and C race classification. Let's think about A races. These are your main events. The North Star of your season, the races you are peaking for. You might only have one or two A races per year, perhaps three at most, because they demand a significant physical and mental investment. Preparation involves a full tapering period, often 1 to 3 weeks, to ensure you arrive at the start line fully rested, sharp, and ready to deliver your best possible performance. Every detail is considered: course reconnaissance, a fine-tuned nutrition plan, and a specific pacing strategy. An A race is the final exam. B races are how we prepare and get race ready for those A races. Think of them as high-quality dress rehearsals. The pressure is lower, and the taper is much shorter, perhaps only a few days, minimizing disruption to your training block. The goal here isn't necessarily an all-out performance, but to test and refine specific elements of your racecraft. You might use a B race to trial a new nutrition strategy, practice your transitions under pressure, or dial in your pacing for your upcoming A race. They are invaluable for building confidence and gathering real-world data on your fitness. Finally, C races. These are your fun events. There is no taper. You treat a C race as a hard training session disguised as a party. They are low-stress opportunities to engage with the community, test new equipment, practice a specific skill like open water sighting, or simply use your hard-earned fitness for the sheer joy of it. C races remind you why you fell in love with the sport in the first place. By strategically layering these different race types throughout your season, you create a balanced, motivating, and intelligent path towards your goals, ensuring you're always moving forward without burning out.
Before we explore all the powerful reasons to race, let's pause. Let's ground ourselves in a fundamental truth that's easy to forget when race numbers and finish times loom large. The training is the prize. The real magic doesn't happen under the finish line gantry. It happens on a quiet Tuesday morning at the pool. It happens on that solo weekend bike ride when the world feels like it's yours. It happens during the final interval of a tough run session that you didn't want to start, but felt incredible finishing. This is the heart and soul of the endurance lifestyle. It's the rhythm of showing up for yourself. It's the simple, profound joy found in movement. This is a lifelong love affair, and its value is not conditional on a race result. It's the feeling of aliveness, the mental clarity after a hard workout, the quiet confidence that comes from keeping a promise to yourself. It's the antidepressive, stress-reducing gift you give your brain, day after day. A race can be a beautiful lighthouse in the distance, guiding your efforts and giving them direction. But your happiness cannot live in that lighthouse. Your happiness must be found here, now, in the journey, in every pedal stroke, every arm pull, every footstep. Because if life happens, an injury, a family commitment, a change of heart, and you can't make it to the lighthouse, was the journey a waste? Not at all. Every moment of movement was still a victory. Every session still enriched your life. Remember this. Hold this truth close. The training is not the means to an end. The training is the point.
Okay, with that beautiful foundation in place, let's talk about that lighthouse. Why should we race? Well, my first and most joyful reason is simple. A race is a celebration. It's the grand payoff for all those early mornings and quiet miles. It's the day you get to stand on a start line, look around and think, I did the work, I earned this. It's a moment to acknowledge your own dedication, and you're not alone. You're surrounded by your tribe, hundreds, sometimes thousands, of other people who just get it. They understand the sacrifices, the discipline, the quiet grind. There's an unspoken bond, a shared energy that is absolutely electric. The volunteers are cheering for you, the crowd is shouting your name, the music is pumping. It's a carnival of human effort. Most of us won't stand on a podium, and that's not the point. The point is to celebrate being part of something bigger than ourselves. To honour the journey, to soak up the razzmatazz, and to revel in the fact that you are strong, you are capable, and you are doing something truly amazing.
It seems to me that racing serves a critical function. It is the ultimate crucible for skill development. Training builds the engine. Racing teaches you how to drive. Many aspects of triathlon are just impossible to replicate perfectly outside of a race environment. Consider the open water swim. You can practice in a lake alone, but only a race forces you to navigate the chaos of flailing limbs, to effectively draft off a pack, and to sight buoys amidst the splash and churn. Those are skills that are a vital part of the sport, and you get to experience them fully only by applying them in a race situation. Then there's racecraft itself. The skills that experienced and confident athletes practice not just because it offers free time, but because it feels great, and it connects them with those at the very peak of the sport. Executing a flying mount in your driveway is one thing. Making it happen with your heart rate sky high, surrounded by other athletes, is another game entirely. A moving dismount just looks super cool and feels great if you can master it. You see these things happening with elites, and there's no reason you can't master them too. Racing encourages you to try new things and sharpens these skills under pressure. As we've said, you can think of racing as a means to an end, as well as an end in itself. Deliberately selecting shorter, faster B or C races is a powerful tool for physiological development, even for long-distance athletes. A 10K running race or an Olympic distance triathlon forces you to recruit fast-twitch muscle fibers that are often dormant during long, steady endurance work. This improves your muscular coordination, running economy, and overall speed. This overspeed work makes your A race pace feel more manageable and comfortable, both physically and psychologically. Racing is a magnifying glass. It exposes your weaknesses with unflinching honesty, providing invaluable feedback that you can take directly back into your training. Every race makes you a smarter, more efficient, and more tactical athlete.
All right, team, time to put some of that theory into practice. Whether you're running, on the bike, or just need a jolt of energy, we've designed a killer audio interval set for you. The beat is locked in at 190 beats per minute. If it's safe for you to do so, this is your chance to sync up. Match your cadence to the beat. For the next 2 minutes, find that rhythm, find your flow, and let the music carry you. Push to that edge where you feel alive. And hey, if you're just listening, no worries. Enjoy the track. Take this moment to reset and refocus. We will be right back. Welcome back. I hope you're buzzing after that track. Let's dive back into our reasons to race, and I want to continue with one of the most powerful motivators of all, pure, unadulterated, and shameless fun. As Jamie has suggested, you can choose no pressure, C races, or they can be your A race when you just go for it, putting yourself on the line. Either way, the race is like a stage where you get to play out your fitness and skill. Everything is set up for you to be at your best and to feel amazing. Let's be honest, where else in adult life do you get to feel like a rock star for a day? I'm thinking of the swim start at the Mid-Argyle Sprint Triathlon here in Scotland. They call your name as you walk onto the pool deck and the marshals just go wild, cheering, making noise. The nerves vanish and you're just grinning from ear to ear. It's an incredible adrenaline rush. This is the magic of the race day atmosphere. It's the music pumping, the announcer motivating the crowd, supporters cheering. Anyone who has experienced an event like Challenge Roth in Germany knows this feeling. They say, you'll feel like the best athlete in the world because the entire region comes out to tell you how awesome you are. That energy is contagious, and it reminds you that this sport, at its heart, is about the joy of movement. And you can take this whole idea of fun a step further. What if racing was your perfect excuse to explore new places? It can be your passport. Imagine turning your next race into an unforgettable trip. You could be cycling an iconic stage of the Tour de France or running a marathon through the historic streets of Paris. But it doesn't have to be a big, grand, expensive event. Smaller local races often take you off the beaten path, letting you discover hidden gems. You can bring your family, and suddenly the race becomes a shared adventure, a way to thank them for supporting all those early morning training sessions. It's the ultimate win-win.
That pull of an inspiring race is a powerful motivator. Triathlon, it seems to me, has a very strong relationship with travel. And having said that, let's think of racing as creating a structure for your motivation. Let's be honest with ourselves. We all have that internal saboteur, that clever avoider who whispers excuses when the alarm goes off. It's too rainy, you're too tired, just do it tomorrow. I know I have one, but when you have a date on the calendar, a race you've committed to, you have a powerful counterargument. Suddenly, every workout has direction. That rainy morning run isn't just a run anymore. It's a deposit into your race day bank account. A race on the calendar acts like that lighthouse we talked about earlier. It's a fixed point on the horizon that guides you through the fog of daily life. It pulls you out of bed. It gives your training a heartbeat. It keeps the fire burning when your routine might otherwise fizzle out. Without that lighthouse, it's easy to drift. But with it, every session becomes intentional. Every swim, every ride, every run feels like part of a bigger, meaningful picture. It transforms exercise from something you should do into part of who you are. You're not just working out, you're an athlete in training. And that shift in identity is one of the most powerful motivators there is.
There is another practical and hugely important reason to race: safety and organization. An organized event is a controlled environment designed to allow you to perform at your best. Someone else has done the hard work for you. Often they've closed the roads or at least calmed the traffic. They've set up aid stations, so you don't have to worry about carrying all your nutrition. For an open water swim, the presence of safety kayaks and lifeguards is incredibly reassuring, allowing you to focus on your stroke instead of your anxiety. In a trail race, a clearly marked course lets you immerse yourself in the effort and the scenery without fumbling with a map. In triathlon, a secure transition area means your expensive bike is safe while you're out on the run. All these logistical and safety details are taken care of, removing a huge mental load and freeing you up to simply focus on your performance. You bring the effort, the race director brings the environment. It's a perfect partnership. And when you don't have to worry about the logistics, you have more mental space to make the very best of the whole experience. Another reason to race is that it can create an opportunity for us to go outside of ourselves. With just a little planning and effort, it can also be a vehicle for something even bigger that has a lasting impact long after you've completed and gone home. I'm thinking here that your racing can be connected to an important cause you deeply care about. Think of the great city marathons, where thousands of runners wear the vests of charities, turning their personal challenge into a powerful act of giving back. Your effort can raise money, awareness, and hope. You don't need to be an elite athlete to have an impact. In fact, the story of a beginner moving from the couch to their first 5K is often the most relatable and inspiring of all. By sharing your journey, you create a ripple effect, inspiring others while supporting a cause that matters.
For me, the ultimate value of racing is very simple. For a few hours, a few times a year, I get to face myself. It's a highly controlled environment where I'm supported and safe. It's not as random or chaotic as life. Rather, it's highly defined, and while unexpected stuff still happens, I can prepare for most eventualities. For those precious few hours, I can play full out and see just who I am. In this way, racing can offer a mirror to your soul, a deeply personal journey of rapid self-discovery. Out there on the course, when the initial excitement fades and the fatigue sets in, you are left alone with your thoughts. Every hill, every headwind, every moment of "why am I doing this?" forces you to confront who you really are. In these moments of struggle, you uncover parts of yourself you never knew existed. This is where your saboteurs love to show up. It's the judge, whispering that you're not good enough. It's the avoider, tempting you to just quit because it's too hard. It's the victim, blaming a flat tire for ruining your entire day. These voices get louder as the physical discomfort grows. But racing gives you the opportunity to see these voices for what they are: just thoughts, not truths. It's a high-stakes training ground for your mental fitness. The stress, the setbacks, the challenges, they mirror life. And by learning to manage your mind on the race course, you learn to manage your mind in your career, your relationships, and your life. This is where you can consciously activate your sage. Your sage is the positive, wise part of your mind that sees every circumstance as a gift or opportunity. Instead of letting the judge beat you up over a slow split, your sage asks, "What can I learn from this?" Instead of the avoider quitting, your sage reminds you of your deeper values and why you started. It's also the voice of self-compassion that says, "This is hard and you are doing great. Be kind to yourself." Racing provides a rare opportunity for what psychologists call a peak experience. It's that magical moment where the world fades away, your mind goes quiet, and you enter a state of flow. You're not fighting the pain, you're dancing with it. In that state, you tap into a version of yourself with a depth of strength and resilience you never knew you possessed. You learn, in the most visceral way, that you are capable of so much more than you imagine. And that knowledge doesn't stay on the course. You carry it with you. Every finish line, whether a triumph or a struggle, makes you a different, more resilient person. That is the real prize.
Now, with all that said, it's crucial to be honest. The pursuit of racing can become a trap. When your self-worth gets tethered to a finish time, when your happiness becomes conditional on hitting a personal best, you are setting yourself up for an all-or-nothing scenario that saboteurs thrive on. So, how do we hold our goals lightly? How do we stay inspired by an outcome without being imprisoned by it? It comes back to the joy of the process and making conscious choices about when not to race. If you're just starting out, give yourself time. Fall in love with the movement first. Build the habits. Don't rush to the start line. If your life is already overflowing with stress from work or family, adding a big race might be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Training can be your stress relief. Don't let a race turn it into another source of pressure. Races will always be there. Your well-being comes first. But be honest about why you're not racing. Is it a wise, sage-like choice to prioritize your daughter's school play, a choice that feels right and positive? Or is it a saboteur-driven choice, rooted in fear? Is the judge telling you you're not good enough to do that race? Is the stickler saying, if you can't do it perfectly, don't do it at all? A saboteur's voice feels negative, heavy, and restrictive. Your sage's voice feels peaceful, clear, and expansive. Learn to tell the difference.
There's a wonderful parable about the fear of judgment. At 15, you think your family is watching every move. At 25, it's your friends. At 35, your colleagues. At 45, your kids. And then at 55, you have a profound realization. No one was ever really watching. They were all too busy worrying about what you thought of them. We live under this giant imaginary spotlight, not racing because you're afraid of what others might think, that you'll be too slow, that you'll finish last, is like refusing to go to the gym because you're not fit enough. It's backwards. The race itself is where you become ready. It's where you forge your mental toughness. So if you are waiting for a sign, let this be it. The hardest part, deciding to start, is already behind you. You have chosen to move, to dream, to challenge yourself. That decision alone is worthy of celebration. So, here's your homework, if you choose to accept it. You don't have to sign up today. Just open a new tab on your browser. Go to a local triathlon club's website or a race organizer's page and just look. Look at the pictures. See the faces of the people finishing. See the different events on offer. That's it. Just look. Maybe you'll feel the fear, but do it anyway. Because what you will discover about yourself out on that course is worth every nervous step. Take the leap. Sign up for something that excites you, scares you a little, and makes you feel truly alive. You are more ready than you think.
And with that final call to action, we bring this episode to a close. Thank you for spending your valuable time with us today. We hope you found a new perspective, a spark of inspiration, or simply the confidence to take your next step, whatever that may be.
Remember to be kind to yourself on this journey. Keep showing up, keep moving forward, and don't forget to have some fun along the way. I've been Jamie.
And I've been Emily.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks. Thank you for tuning in to the Mind Fit Athlete podcast. If you've enjoyed today's material and you'd like to dive deeper, our Mind Fit Athlete community is waiting for you over at mindfitathlete.com. That's where we take these insights and integrate them into our everyday lives. In fact, we're on a mission to help everyone build their mental fitness so they can choose happiness, thrive, and make a positive difference. We are building our mental fitness in sport and in life, and we'd absolutely love to have you join us.